ever have one of those aha moments? It's kind of like ta-da, but better. A new marketing book can help your company get to an aha moment. One example of the formula working is Apple, when Steve Jobs ran Apple. This week, Techonomics host Jason Middleton speaks with a marketing legend, and that conversation starts now.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Techonomics. As ever, thank you for listening, clicking, sharing, you know, you doing you. Andy Cunningham is kind of a living legend in Silicon Valley and within its marketing culture. Her aptitude shined early on in her career, and Steve Jobs noticed, and then he hired her. And then he let her go a couple of times, only to put her back on the team again.
That's why it was such an honor to be on his team in the first place, because you knew you were adding value to a guy that's changing the world. And God, what feels better than that? That's an amazing feeling. But if you made a mistake or he didn't like what you did, a lot of times he would just get rid of you. In my case, he did that a few times, but then he kept bringing me back.
Right.
So I thought, well, maybe there is something. Maybe I'm adding value here somehow.
Andy's new book is called How to Get to Aha. It's her secret sauce recipe for successfully marketing any company, from a startup to one that's lost its way and needs saving. Our chat, thankfully, went a little long, so part two this week is the conclusion of our discussion. But for now, let's get started with part one.
Andy Cunningham and founder of Cunningham Collective.
And a recent author.
Recent author of Get to Aha, absolutely.
Let's just go right there. Get to Aha. Oh, full disclosure I should give out right now is I used to work for Andy at the Cunningham Collective as a contractor for almost a year. I think we've known each other for almost exactly a year.
Yeah.
The first time we met for lunch out at the BlackBerry campus.
Absolutely, and it was a real pleasure working with you, Jason.
That's nice of you to say. I learned a lot. It was an educational experience, and a lot of what I learned was getting to Aha, which is kind of what you've codified here in this book, right? So I'll let you just take it here. Like, how did you get to this point? And then we'll talk about the impact.
Many years ago, probably like in the 15 department, I came up with a methodology for helping companies figure out how to position themselves in the market. And I came to that because I had a client that hired me to do that. And I used to do it in a very creative way. I would go back into a back room, shut the door, put my creative hat on and come out with what I used to call a ta-da. And this particular client really wanted to understand what the process was to go through it, because he was very skeptical of that creative process. And he was a finance guy. And he'd fired all of his marketing people, so all he had left were engineers.
Whoa.
So they wanted a real process. So I stuck myself in an office over the course of a weekend and kind of reverse engineered the creative process that I went through to help companies get to Aha, and came up with this framework. And the framework is based on the notion that companies are like people and they have DNA like people. But unlike people, their DNA is not quite as complex.
One of the things that I was exposed to early, which I think was, I'd have to say, revolutionary in its approach, is that you can basically take any company. If I throw any company at you, you're able to give it one, two, or three, one of the three categories, and they all start with M, right?
They do all start with M, but that came much later.
What are the three M's that any company can be?
So they are either mothers, which are customer-oriented companies.
Give me an example, would you?
Lyft is a great example. Nordstrom is another great example. Okay. Zappos is a good example.
Okay.
So those are mothers or customer-oriented companies. There are mechanics, which are product-oriented companies, companies like Oracle, like Microsoft, like Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are missionaries, which are what I call concept-oriented companies. And these are companies like Tesla, like Apple used to be before Steve passed away. FedEx was in the day. Those types of companies. Companies that exist to change behavior on a fundamental level.
Seems like that last category also is typified by a charismatic leader.
Often there is a charismatic leader. I call that a cult of personality leader.
Mm-hmm.
And they tend to succeed better if they do have a cult of personality leader. But not all missionary companies actually do have a cult of personality leader. And I think you can think a little bit about Starbucks in that way.
That's a good point.
Starbucks was absolutely a concept / missionary company. Changed behavior, changed our coffee drinking behavior forever. Caused us to spend $5 for a cup of dollar coffee. But the leader, Howard Schultz, is a wonderful man and has forwarded many, many, many theories about working with his people and all of that. He's done some amazing things, but he's not a cult of personality.
I don't want to put too much of a spin on this, but in my opinion, it is the death of PR. It is proving that PR has changed in such a fundamental way that a completely new thought process needs to be put in place.
I think you're absolutely right. I do think that PR, the way we have always thought about it, is dead. I just wrote an article called PR is Dead, Long Live PR.
I did not read it, I promise.
You haven't read that, but it's interesting that you picked up on that, because that really is what's happening. PR is going through a redefinition of itself right now, and I call where it's going the new PR, mm-hmm. which is really about the intersection of very, very compelling positioning and very strategic content marketing. It's no longer about press relations, which is what we used to think it was. You know, back in the day, before the internet,
right?
Some people who are listening probably existed before the internet, and the internet brought about a technology that enabled us to communicate with millions of people through many, many channels. But before the internet, all we had was what we're on today, the radio, we had television, and we had journalists. And mostly you guys were journalists, right?
Right.
And you became the broadcast mechanism for corporations to tell their stories. But that is no longer the case. You're still there, but now we have 100 other channels to do that. So
right.
PR in the old sense is dead, in that I don't have to get my story out by convincing you to tell my story.
Exactly.
I can tell my story through my own channels.
Right. And then I find them that way.
And then
way.
You find them. And then you write about them.
And then
or
that's
you talk
called
about
earned
them.
Media, because I tell your story back to you and your client's very happy and you didn't pay for that placement.
Bingo. The new PR at work.
Right. But you did tap on something there, too, which is exactly why people like me have side hustles, like working for Cunningham Collective. All right. At the top of this, you mentioned companies as DNA, like humans.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I'd like to go a little bit deeper onto that, too, because two main pillars, maybe two of the biggest legs on the stool for marketing, branding. Right. And positioning. So can you tell us the difference between the two and how your working definition varies?
Yes. Thank you. So I believe that companies are, again, much like people. There's a yin and a yang to a company's identity. And that yin is the rational side to the company. And the yang is the emotional side. And again, just like people, there's a rational side to people and an emotional side. And you're not really a complete person or a complete company unless you have both of those things. So positioning helps you get to the aha that is inherent in the rational side of your position. Of your identity.
Mm-hmm.
And branding, my definition of branding, enables you to get the emotional side, to the emotional side of your corporate identity. And you need to do both. But the most important thing, that which is really in my book, is all about you got to do the positioning first. You got to do the rigor of understanding the rational side of your being
right.
before you start adding the frosting to the cake and putting the emotion on it.
Because I think that's a mistake that a lot of companies make. And I think that I learned that from you and other marketers along the way. Because we do a lot of marketing on this show. Companies leading with branding
right.
needs seems to be what the first ask always is.
Right. It's what they want to do because it's the more fun part. It's sexy.
Yeah.
And you get like this really cool logo and color palette. And
right.
and that really is the ta-da, right? When you hire a branding agency to go off and come up with a great tagline for you or a great logo, it feels so good because it gives you that new, it's like buying a new suit, right? Or buying mm-hmm. a new dress. It's like, wow, that's going to make me look great. But then you look at your body and you go, whoop, but I haven't lost that 10 pounds I was going to lose.
Right.
I better do that first before I start trying to look great in
right.
that dress.
And that's the positioning part of it,
exactly.
right? That's the research. That's the X and Y axis and
yep.
stuff.
Yep.
What your company does is a little bit of both, right? What's one of the takeaways you've gotten on this book tour as far as feedback from people who were not like me, who didn't already know what the secret sauce
was? Right. You know too much inside information. That's great. I mean, it's wonderful that you do because that helps a lot. But actually, a very interesting thing I've learned from this book tour is that in addition to companies really trying to figure out, you know, am I a mother? Am I a mechanic? Am I a missionary? They love that. And there's a test in the book that enables you to figure that out. The other interesting thing that I didn't expect at all is especially younger people, millennials and younger than that even, are using this book to figure out where they should get a job. Because they're saying, if my DNA is mother DNA, I should work for a company that has that same DNA.
Mm-hmm.
If my DNA is missionary, I should work for a missionary company. So I thought that was a very interesting take that I never expected.
That is interesting. Let me pivot just a little bit, okay? Because
okay.
I have a question that I've asked venture capitalists quite a bit. I've had Howard Love in here with his book. I have Calacanis on sometimes too often. Reid Hoffman. I've always asked them, where do you pull in marketing, right? Because I think they should pull marketing forward with startups to late seed to maybe Series A. What's your take on that? Do you think that that's good, bad?
You mean when should marketing get involved
yeah.
in a company's?
Well, when would you want to start sharing some of your attention
right.
from a founder toward marketing, not just product or product?
Okay, that's a great question. So if you look to the world of consumer goods, like if you look at consumer packaged goods, toothpaste, laundry detergent, the stuff that we use every day, marketing is there from the very, very, very beginning. Mm-hmm. In fact, marketing helps define the product. But if you look in the tech world, the engineers define the product, and then they decide when they're going to bring marketing in. It would be a wonderful thing if the engineers would bring marketing in much earlier to help with the definition of the product, because it's the marketing people who really understand what the market needs and where the empty spaces, where the white spaces in the market are. So I would like for companies in the tech industry to bring marketing in at the very, very beginning. But it doesn't happen that way.
No, it doesn't. But that's an interesting point, because I always get pushback from the VC saying that I don't want to dilute that team's focus.
Right.
But I would say that the marketing earlier is an additive process.
It is. It is totally an additive process and often can make the product better. But most technology companies don't work that way. They bring in marketing when they want to start getting famous, when they want to start creating awareness with luck leads for their product.
That was Andy Cunningham for the first part of our chat about her new book, How to Get to Aha. It's marketing expertise that you would otherwise pay thousands of dollars for, so you may want to start with buying the book. There are links to Andy's book and all of the links we use for sourcing at kgoradio.com/techonomics. Just look for the story that goes with this week's show. Coming up after the break, part two of my chat with Andy Cunningham, how she pairs rational with emotional to deliver for clients, and her time working with Steve Jobs.
Steve was actually, I think, the catalyst for me coming up with this whole DNA model in the first place.
Interesting.
He actually said to me, I asked him once very early on when we were doing the Macintosh stuff, I said, so what is it you're trying to accomplish with this product? When it reaches a consumer, what is it you're looking to achieve?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I want people to feel that there's a mother in every box. I want them to open this box, and I want what to come out is I want them to feel completely taken care of, like your mother takes care of you.
That's next, so please stay tuned. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.